12, reading from verse 12 to 26. And that's on page 1079 in the Bibles in front of you. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much for reading, Katrina. Good morning, everyone. As Martin said, I'm Robbie. I'm the youth pastor in training here, and it's always a great joy to come up and get to share God's words. Today, boys and girls, it'd be great if you could all come down to the front, no matter what age you are. I'm going to need your help a little bit later on, so it'd be really good if you could just come sit down the front whilst they're all running to meet me and join me up here. It's just a great reminder that the reason we have these all-age services is because we believe that the whole Bible is appropriate and applicable to the whole church. And so sometimes we do services where we're all together, because what we're going to say today is just as important for all of you guys down the front as it is for all of you sitting at the back. So we're going to say it in a way that everyone can understand, but it's a truth that actually everyone needs to hear. Today, boys and girls, if you're a friend of Jesus, living for Jesus can be quite hard. We want to be Christians who follow Jesus and we then do what he says, but often it's just really difficult. Sometimes we see our friends doing things that we want to do, but we're not allowed to do. Sometimes it means saying no to really fun events because they're happening on Sundays. Maybe you're not able to play football or go to a dance class on a Sunday because you come to church. Maybe it's hard because being a Christian means that you have to say no to a job that you think would make you do things you shouldn't do as you grow up. It gets really easy to think that the reason we say no to all these things is because Jesus is a bit grumpy and he doesn't want us to do fun things. Boys and girls, that's not true. What we see today on Palm Sunday is that Jesus is a great, great king. And because he's a great king, it means he knows exactly what we should do. And he's an example for us of how we should live. So that's what we're going to be thinking about today. And the more we realize how good a king Jesus is, the easier it'll be to live for him. Now, today's story, if you were listening carefully, it started. I'm going to move this so I can see everyone. There we go. Today's story started with Jesus entering Jerusalem. That's one of the really big cities. And a great crowd came to meet him. Now, this is a big crowd, okay? John means big. If you look around this morning, boys and girls, look around. This is quite a lot of people. This is maybe 200 people. It's quite a big crowd. If I were entering Glasgow and this amount of people came to welcome me, I'd feel pretty big. For Jesus, it was way more. There's a historian who writes, about 30 years after Jesus, that for Passover, this great big festival for the whole Israel, the whole nation of Israel, over 2 million people would come to Jerusalem. 2 million! This is 200. So that is like 10,000 times more people than in here. That's like over double the amount of people that live in all of Glasgow. It's like half of Scotland all gathering in one city and then going to meet one man as he walked in. This is a lot of people. This is a great big crowd. And that's what verse 12 says in our passage. They went to see Jesus and they all grabbed palm branches. Like these, they all grabbed their palm branches and they started waving them and shouting things at Jesus. It's a bit weird, but the reason people grabbed palm branches is they thought Jesus was the promised king of Israel, what they called the Messiah. They thought Jesus was coming to Jerusalem to take control and free Israel. They thought they were going to make them a great nation again, ruling and conquering all the people around them. They thought he was going to free them from the Romans. Now, this is something that they had waited on for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years waiting. So they got palm branches. You see, palm branches for Israel were like this sign for the nation. Grabbing a palm branch meant that we are Israel, we are the Jewish people, and we will be free, is what they were trying to say. They'd been waiting so long that they had a huge celebration now that the king had arrived. I can't even imagine how loud it must have been, having over 2 million people. I don't know if you've ever been anywhere with that many people. I can't think of any situation I would have. But even though I can't imagine it, I want us to try and imagine it. Yes, everyone, all of the adults are rolling their eyes at me, boys and girls, but we're going to do this anyway. We're going to try and be as loud as we can, and we're going to shout some things. So I need everyone, right? Boys and girls, have you all got your palm branches with you? No, do you want to run back and get your palm branches? I think we're going to wave our palm branches. So everyone else, grab your palm branches. On the screen behind me, we're going to have the three things that the people shouted out to Jesus. The way we're going to do this, right, if you're between the ages of 0 and 20, you're going to just shout out Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna, as loud as you can. If you're between the ages of 21 and maybe, let's go for 38, you're going to shout out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's the wordy one. It's a bit confusing. So I thought you are the youngest. You'll nail it. And everyone else, blessed is the King of Israel. Right, let's practice that. So boys and girls, in a second, all I want you guys to do is shout as loud as you can, Hosanna, Hosanna. And you're going to keep shouting Hosanna. Okay? Great. So if you're between the ages of 0 to 20, we're just going to start with Hosanna. When I say go, just start shouting really loudly, Hosanna, okay? 3, 2, 1. Boys and girls, nailing it. I know there are more people back there between the ages of 0 and 20, right? Throw your shame away. We're a family. This is fun. Right? I want you all waving these, okay? Between the ages of 0 and 20. Yes, I'm making eye contact with people who I know should be doing it. Okay, let's try this again. 3, 2, 1.
Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna!
Boys and girls, you're nailing this. Right, we'll do the second group between 21 and 38. 3, 2, 1. Maybe I've just misinterpreted the age groups. Okay, and everyone else, the second one, 3, 2, 1.
Blessed is the King of Israel.
Okay, I apologize for shaming people back there. Maybe there's just less of you than I thought. Okay, so what we're going to do all together, boys and girls, let's imagine the long-awaited king is walking down the aisle. Everyone, you can even look, pretend he's walking up. Grab your palm branches, and everyone, as loud as you can, okay? 3, 2, 1. All right. Boys and girls, I think you're nailing this, right? I need your help, right? Can you all turn around and look at all these people behind you? Can you give them your angriest stare? Because I think they're letting you down. I need you all, like, make eye contact, and they're not doing what they're meant to be doing, okay? So we'll do this one last time. I need louder. I need the loudest you've ever shouted. I want the person beside you, like, this guy's gone too far. That's what I want, okay? 3, 2, 1. Really. Much better. Much better. You can imagine that that was kind of loud. That was 200 people shouting. Imagine almost 2 million people shouting all of those things constantly as Jesus walked towards Jerusalem. It's incredible. The noise must have been deafening. You can imagine as Jesus got closer to where you were standing, it got louder and louder. This is the man that they'd been waiting for their entire lives, and he's arrived. Finally, we're going to be free. They all thought he was the king, and they were right. Jesus is the king. He's the king of Israel. But the thing is, the crowds kind of were maybe half right. But what they were saying teaches us some really important stuff, and what John tells us too. So we're going to look into what they said and what John says, and we're going to learn three important things about this king. And we're going to sing a song, and I'm going to come back and think some more, okay? So the first thing we learn is that Jesus is a king who saves. Boys and girls, you were shouting so well. You were shouting the word Hosanna. It's gone off the screen, but that's okay. You were shouting the word Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna is an old Hebrew word. Hebrew is the language that the people would have spoken back then. And what it means is save us, please. Save us, please. But when the Jewish people use it here, it's more like a celebration. They're shouting, they're thanking Jesus that he's going to do it. No, it's not a request asking, Lord, save us. They're saying he is going to save us. They know it. They know it to be true. It's almost like they're shouting, hooray, that we're going to be saved. Hooray that Jesus is here. Salvation, we are going to be saved. And when we sing Hosanna, some of the songs that we sing as a church use that word. That's what we're doing. We're declaring the victory for Jesus. And we're thanking him that he has saved us. So the people who were shouting Hosanna, they knew that they were going to be saved soon because the great king was arriving. King Jesus is going to save everyone. The second thing we see is that Jesus is the king of promise. So after, in John's gospel, I keep pointing to the screen, there's nothing on it. After we get there, we get a quote from Zechariah. Now, Zechariah was born a long time ago. And he promised a long, long time ago that Messiah, that a king was coming for Israel. And the people have held on to that promise for so long that when Jesus comes, they're like, this must be it. But this, in John 12, and in the bit we're looking at today, this isn't the first time in John that people have wanted to make Jesus their king. Way back in chapter 6, after Jesus performed a miracle, a group came and to try and make Jesus their king by force. They wanted to make him their king. But Jesus knew that it wasn't the right time. So he went away and he hid from them. But here, in John 12, Jesus says, the time has come for me to be glorified. He knows that this is the moment that he came to earth for. This is the king thing he came to do. So rather than hiding and pretending that this wasn't the right time or waiting, Jesus finds a donkey. Donkey, and he climbs on the donkey, and he rides the donkey into Jerusalem. And Jesus hears what they're shouting, and he knows what they expect of him. So what we see when Jesus finds a donkey is him accepting the role of king of Israel. Because of that promise from Zechariah, it says, your king is coming on a donkey colt. Jesus, by finding a donkey, proves that he is the promised king that they've been waiting on. He's fulfilling that prophecy because he knows as he arrives in Jerusalem, his great kingly moment has arrived. Now, that's not the only thing we learn from the donkey and the promise. We also learn that Jesus is a king of peace. The masses of people were expecting freedom through battle. They were expecting their king to come with a sword and take control. Now, if a king was coming for battle, boys and girls, what do you think a king for fighting would ride on? Do you think he'd ride on a big majestic horse, wouldn't you? He'd have some armor, he'd have a big sword in his sides, and he'd be riling the people up. It's a bit weird that Jesus is on a donkey. That's not very battle-like. Have you guys ever heard of a donkey being in a battle? I've not. A king would choose a strong and majestic horse to show his power, but Jesus chose a donkey, a lowly donkey. Jesus isn't a king who's coming to show power or might on the battlefields, but he is a king who's going to bring peace forever. The next part of Zechariah 9 says this, the king will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. He will remove the chariots and the war horses and the bows, because there'll be no need for them anymore. What Jesus the King is going to do when he enters Jerusalem is bring the greatest peace that the world has ever known. Peace from fighting, peace from strife, peace from having to do things to earn from God, peace from the Pharisees coming and shouting at people, peace from the darkness and the misery. Jesus is coming to bring perfect peace for everyone. These are the things John is telling us. Jesus is the great King, the King who saves, promised long ago to bring peace for the world. But John doesn't finish there. The gospel doesn't end with Jesus' victorious arrival. In a few minutes, boys and girls, we're going to come back and we're going to think about, what did Jesus the King come to do? If he's not a king of power and victory, what is he? But first, we're going to sing a song, because the right thing to do when we see that Jesus is the King is sing praise to him. So boys and girls, get on your feet.
No.
Oh, I've done that thing. I'm so sorry, Jamie. I could have sworn I didn't mute myself. That is a very bad habit I've got. Sorry, Jamie. Okay, so has anybody seen, this is one of my favourite Disney movies, the animated Robin Hood film? It's quite old. Yes, some people have seen it. It's one of my favourites. Now, right at the end of the Robin Hoods, right, Robin Hoods is a fox who steals from the rich and gives to the poor. And in particular, he's been trying to take away Prince John's, all of his money, because Prince John is a bad guy. He's been taxing too much, and he's a cowardly lion who sits on thrones of gold and takes from all the poor people, even though they don't have anything to give. And Robin Hood is trying to rightfully do the right thing, and then take the money. Well, rightfully, he's stealing. Anyway, at the end of the movie, after all the battles, after all the to and fro and all the shenanigans of Robin Hood's, King Richard returns. King Richard is the big lion on the right, and he comes back victorious after being away for a long time. And he comes back with big parades, and there's great cheering and rejoicing because King Richard has returned, finally. King Richard is going to get rid of Prince John, and he's going to take the throne, and everything's going to be amazing. There are going to be people who live in joy and victory after all the battle, because he's going to fight the fight. He's going to get rid of all the pesky Prince Johns and Sir Hisses of the world. It's one of my favorites. You go watch it. Catchiest tune in the world. Now, King Richard returning, it's a little bit like what we might expect Jesus to be like. So we've heard Jesus has come in. He's paraded towards Jerusalem. People are cheering. They're so glad the King has come. But the story of Jesus in John doesn't look like the end of Robin Hood's. It doesn't look like Jesus coming in victorious, getting rid of all the bad guys through might and strength. It doesn't look like we're going to get the happy ending that Robin Hood did. But actually, the story of Jesus is a much greater happy ending than Robin Hood's. It just might not look how we think of it beforehand. So for Jesus, we're going to see, boys and girls, that being a king means that he will die for his people. So Jesus, in this little bit, he uses the example of wheat being sown. Now, does anybody know, boys and girls, what is wheat used for? Does anyone know? We grow wheat in farms. No, wheat is used to make flour, to make bread. Wheat is ground down, and it's grown all around the world because, like, everyone eats breads. So when you plant wheat, it grows up, and then the stalk grows, and the head grows, and then the seeds grow in the head, and then the seeds kind of fall out of the head, and then they plant themselves. But this is a bit abstract, so I've actually asked for some help, so I don't know where David is. Everyone give a round of applause for my wheat seeds. Thank you, David. You're going to come and stand right here, and you're going to go down like little seeds. Now, brilliant. So, boys and girls, this is a wheat seed. And what happens when wheat seeds grow is that they grow up, and they start off with just the stalk, and after a little bit longer, they grow the kernel, and then the kernel gets lots of seeds inside, and that grows up into the head. And then one day, all of the seeds have to fall and get scattered everywhere. What the? The seeds have to fall and die. The plant itself has to die so the seeds will fall. And what happens now? Can I get some people to come and be more seeds for me? Boswell goes, yeah, come on up. Stand on where you see one of these seeds. Come on, anyone, just everyone go and stand up and go down into like a little seeds. Down into little seeds. Great. Oh, look at all these seeds. This is fantastic. And then what happens is the seeds fall and then they stand up because they grow up into the stalks. And then the head grows up here, and then that grows up, and the seeds grow in the head. And all of a sudden, all their seeds would drop. And all of a sudden, they would scatter way more seeds, and then the process repeats itself. But the important thing to learn, boys and girls, is that these seeds, if they stayed in the plant, they'd still be a live plant. But the thing that had to happen is they have to drop to the ground and die so that something else can come up and take its place and grow, and that we can have more wheat. Brilliant, you can all go sit down. Round of applause for our wheat seeds. This is the story that Jesus uses to make an example of what he does. He tells us that the seeds have to die and fall to the ground so that more things can grow up in its place. If the kernels were to stay in the plants, they would stay alive, they'd still be a part of a plant, but we'd get no more wheat. Jesus is telling us that just like the seeds, he needs to die so that more things can grow up around him. Now, this seems crazy. Jesus has just come in on a giant parade with potentially 2 million people telling him that he's the king. If anyone at any point in history wanted to do an uprising and win via victory, it could be Jesus. Maybe that's what the people, well, it is what the people around him thought. Maybe actually that's what we sometimes think. Maybe we think that it would be better if we could win via might and power and wealth and influence. But Jesus realized that actually we need so much more than that. We didn't need a military leader. Israel didn't need a military leader. They needed to live forever. They needed to defeat sin and all the sickness inside us of the heart that is sin. We didn't need a king who would fight for us. We needed the king who would die for us so that we might live. And this is the kind of king that Jesus is. Jesus is the king who does what his people need, no matter the cost for himself, because he loves them. Jesus is the king, he tells us, who's come to be glorified on the cross. Jesus found the greatest glory through the worst death imaginable. When we think of glory, we think of people shouting, Hosanna, blessed is the King. When Jesus thinks of glory, he sees himself dying so that we might live. But Jesus doesn't just tell us that this is what he's come to do. No, Jesus calls his followers to live the same kind of life. Boys and girls, Jesus is not just the King who dies, but he's the King that we're meant to follow. Verse 25, if you have your Bible open, says this, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. Boys and girls, if we are friends of Jesus and want to follow him, we need to live a life of sacrifice. Well, we need to give up things we might want for his sake, because we know that we're going to get a much greater reward if we do. Now this is really, really hard. Boys and girls, everyone here, we know how hard this is if you live for Jesus. Jesus tells us a few things that show how hard it is. First, we must die like the grain of wheat. That's verse 24. Verse 25 says we must hate our lives in this world. It doesn't mean we have to be angry and rage against the world. What it means is that we have to hate it so that we don't hold on to it. Our lives now are nothing compared to what we will gain. We are not to love what we have in this world. We're to hate it and push it away, instead reaching out for the greater glory that comes. This is what it looks like to live for Jesus today. To be friends of Jesus is difficult. We would much rather have the glory of the parades than the glory of the cross. But if we want to follow Jesus, we need to look to him above everything. Thankfully, Jesus doesn't only tell us that it's going to be hard. Boys and girls, if this ended here with Jesus just being like, you're going to have to die to follow me, we'd all probably not be here. Thankfully, Jesus gives us a much, 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 much greater promise. Because if we follow Jesus, well, it means our lives are going to be worth something. We don't just die. We die to this world, but we will bear fruit. We'll help other people come to life in Jesus. We don't just lose our lives now and that's the end of it. Instead, we lose our lives so that we may keep our life for eternity. What we give up for Jesus when we say no to football on Sundays, when we say no to bullying someone in our class with our friends, when we say no to going out on that extra night out or sleeping with someone or all of these things, what we're actually doing is saying yes to a much greater reward. We cannot out-sacrifice God's generosity. We are to follow him to the cross, but if we do, the greater thing is that he is already there waiting for us. That's what verse 26 says. Living the hard life now means that we get to be with Jesus forever. And not just that, boys and girls, it's not just Jesus we get to be with, but God the Father will honor us if we serve Jesus. He'll honor us forever. This is the reason we give up things now as Christians. This is the reason we say no to things. It's not because Jesus is grumpy, because he knows what is better for us by far. When we choose to go to Dangerous Club or Friday Night Live or church on a Sunday or the weekend at home or say no to going to the rugby or the football or whatever we have on a Sunday, we know that what we've said yes to is so much better. The honor of the Father is the reason we don't live for success or wealth or power, but it's why we can give money to the church without being afraid of or feeling selfish. It's why we can talk about Jesus without being, even despite the fact we might get rejected by our friends, because we know that what we have here is nothing compared to what we will have. Boys and girls, all of these things might seem really scary and hard, but when we choose to follow Jesus, he promises us much more. Jesus, the true King of the entire world, the long-promised Messiah, will bring peace for us no matter what we face now. He has died to save us so that we might live. So when it feels really difficult, when it feels really difficult to follow these things, boys and girls, we can look to the cross. We can look to Jesus. When we see him being really glorified on the cross, we know that that is what awaits us, but we follow that with glory in heaven forever. It emboldens us. It makes us confident to live like our King and encourages us to live the right way because that's what Jesus did. And when we realize that, we can say forever, Hosanna, he has come to save us. Blessed was he who came in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of the whole world. Boys and girls, let me pray and then the band are going to come back up. Father God, thank you that you have sent Jesus to save us, that you promised him long ago and he came to bring peace. Father, thank you that he died so that we might live. Thank you that he, like the seed, fell to the ground and died so that we may bear fruit now and that we have the choice to do the same. Lord, help us to say no to the things of the world, but say yes to following Jesus, to hate our lives now, but live with the promise of eternal life to come. We pray for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.